For only the second time in his presidency, I find myself disagreeing with Donald Trump. The first was over the firing of FBI Director James Comey. This time, it's the missile strike in Syria. Why do I disagree? Well, have a listen to what I said on my LBC radio show just a few days ago.
The Nigel Farage Show.
Mr. Nigel Farage.
Thank you, Donald, and good evening, everybody. Well, the war of words between America and Russia has escalated today to such a level that one or two people are now asking the question, are we perhaps headed towards perhaps a major conflict in the Middle East? All I can say is this, that, you know, I have been a steadfast supporter of Donald Trump, you know, right the way through the primaries, through the campaign itself. I even appeared on a stage with him. I went around the debates and was in the spin rooms. And I've supported, you know, a huge amount of the president's agenda. I've always believed his instincts to be right. But we are in a very odd place where Donald J. Trump, who in 2013, 18 times tweeted at Obama, you know, don't get involved in the war in Syria. It would be a mad and dangerous thing to do. And yet, with similar circumstances, albeit slightly more serious ones, it's Trump that has been talking in a pretty hawkish way. As I say, he often does this to get concessions. You know, he said to North Korea, my button's bigger than yours, and apparently we're now going to have talks. He's been threatening China on trade. They're beginning to make concessions. He's used, on the world stage, to playing this hand of cards, this tough hand of cards, and getting concessions. But I, as a Trump supporter, am pretty worried by one or two of the things that he said. And my callers didn't hold back either.
I'm a massive Trump fan, and I was on your show singing his praises.
Yes.
And in the last week, I'm absolutely, I don't know what to make of this. He's completely turned 180 degrees.
I've always really liked Trump, and I really liked the fact that he said that he wouldn't intervene in Syria, and he warned Obama about not getting involved in a conflict over the sort of red line issue. But
yes,
these tweets today just really, you know, just really worries me. And I think about Theresa May with, you've got Afghanistan destroyed, as you've just said, you've got Iraq destroyed, you've got Libya destroyed, now Syria. It's just, you know, when are they going to stop?
It's Wednesday night. I've just arrived at LBC Studios in London, but I've had a phone call from Fox News. They want me on Tucker Carlson tonight.
The first role of government is to protect and maintain the interests of its citizens.
Exactly.
However horrible things in Syria are, they do not affect directly American interests or British interests either. And I hope our leaders think again.
I hope so too. Nigel Farage, thank you for that. For that
thank
clear
you.
Explanation.
So at the start of this week, I travelled over to Strasbourg, where on Tuesday we had a rather important visitor, President Emmanuel Macron.
Je veux appartenir.
I want to belong to a generation that will defend European sovereignty, because we fought to obtain it, because it has a meaning, because it is the condition that will allow future generations to themselves choose their future. And I will not give in to any kind of fixation on authoritarianism.
Well, I've just been in my chamber listening to Macron. I've retired to the members' bar to have a drink and to think about it before going to meet the man himself for lunch. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, he's the globalist's dream. In fact, in many ways, I think he's the last hope the European Union's got. Extraordinary speech. He's calling for more money for the European Union, more power for the European Union. He wants to centralise even more deeply to take yet more power away from nation states. Oh, and of course they love him here. I mean, they cheered him absolutely to the rafters. But it was very funny because I could have spoken in this debate myself as a group leader, but I decided to let one of my French colleagues in my group, who is heading a new party called Les Patriots, I let him speak, and he used the F word. Yes, the F word was used in the European Parliament. Yeah, my friend Filippo said Frexit, and they all went nutty. Well, I remember talking here about Brexit, and them all shouting it down. But you know something?
if you speak the unspeakable, people sometimes start to think the unthinkable. I was introduced to him by Mr. Tajani, the President of the European Parliament, as the enfant terrible of the European Union, to which Macron said, yes, I know. He was chatty, friendly, had a glass of champagne with him over lunch. People thought it was hilarious that Macron and I were sitting around the same table, because I guess we represent the two completely opposite views on the European project, on globalism versus nationalism. I have to say, very polite, very polished, very professional, but here's a funny story. He was supposed to speak at 10 o'clock in the chamber. He didn't arrive until 10:20. I found out today from a friend who works in the Parliament services. I haven't got many friends here, but I got the odd one. I found out the reason he was 20 minutes late, he spent 20 minutes having his makeup done. Goodness me, talk about vanity. Well, not a week goes by without Trump, of course, being the main global story. And this week, I think his administration has achieved something that no one's done for years. Mike Pompeo, CIA boss, and of course, now due to become a Secretary of State, we find out, it's like a film this almost, isn't it? He's been to North Korea and he's shaken the hand of Kim Jong-un. And this is as a precursor to a meeting that's going to take place. We're told the meeting could take place before the beginning of June. The Donald tweeted, the meeting in Pyongyang went very smoothly and a good relationship was formed. Well, do you know something? 9 months into Obama's first term as president, he was given the Nobel Peace Prize for what he might do. Well, once this meeting's taken place, I think Trump should get the Nobel Peace Prize. And as an MEP, I'm allowed to be a nominee. I'm going to get a petition going after this meeting. Let's see what the committee do. Whether they give the Nobel Prize to Trump, I bet they don't, because they kind of think that Obama's nice and Donald's not. But you know what? He's achieving an absolutely huge amount. It is exciting. It is great. It's fantastic. Well, it's been a pretty varied week from President Macron of France, and I'm now meeting Governor Phil Bryan, who's the governor of Mississippi. And he's here for Commonwealth Week, right, here in London, which
absolutely
is quite a big event.
It surprised a lot of people. Surprised Prince Charles, who will be King Charles very soon, when I introduced myself the other day as governor of Mississippi and chairman of the Royal Commonwealth Society USA. He had this surprised look on himself and said, is the U.S. back in the Commonwealth?
I said, well, because George III was quite a long time ago, but we won't go into that, because it'll cause a bit of trouble. Yeah. Now, big year, you know, midterms coming up, these big elections coming up in November. And of course, traditionally, for sitting presidents, these elections are a nightmare. You know, Obama, in fact, I mean, really never quite recovered any authority after his first set of midterms. I'm just wondering, you know, I speak to, I follow a lot of American conservative commentators who were big Trump supporters, but they kind of liked Trump when he wasn't intervening too much overseas. Are these missile strikes in Syria going to put some people off supporting the president?
No, I don't think so. One of the things about Americans is we pull together behind a president in time of war. Even firing on Syria, we understand. When President Obama got involved in the few times, he didn't do a very good job for it. But Americans stand behind a president in time of war and in conflict, and you're going to see that happen with the American public. And midterms depend on every candidate. It's the individual candidate. And that's what, you know, when you talk about Alabama as some type of turning point in the midterms, we have to have good candidates to win these elections, and there wasn't a good candidate in Alabama at the time of that Senate race.
So come on, I've known you long enough to know that you're not exactly backwards in coming forwards.
Yeah.
So give us a prediction. What's going to happen in the midterms?
I think the House is going to be very close, and it's going to be a tough call. I hope Republicans can keep the House, but you see a number of people leaving the House, the Speaker of the House. When you see that occur, then there's going to be dysfunction within that order, because now their leader is gone. So who's going to come and raise the money? Who's going to help lead that team? The good thing about it, Nancy Pelosi is still there, and she is the best gift the Republican Party has ever had.
We'd never know your luck. Next time around in 2020, they might even pick Hillary Clinton again. Phil, great to see you. We'll catch up soon.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can get the next episode with me chatting to former Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg straight away.